This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Happy Friday. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Wiggins is hanging out with us. Did you hear me say, Wiggins, that a guy last night would not take no for an answer, that you were still on the show full time?
No, I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah. A guy I met at Cyberg's, and he's like, I love Wiggins. And I'm like, yeah, we miss him. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, he's on Annie's show now. He's like, no, he's on your show.
So he clearly listens a lot.
I'm like, well.
Huge fan, Dave.
He makes a point. He makes appearances. He's like, no. He's on all the time. I'm like, okay.
You're not going to get this one past me, Glover.
He was sharpening a pork chop bone to shiv me with. Like, all right.
I wonder what he thought your motivation for lying was.
Right.
Because he knew, he thought you were lying.
Yeah,
so he must have thought there was motivation
for it. Like, what
a
strange subterfuge Glover is committing on me right now.
Funny.
So we get lots of feedback on mostly social media. And then we got one really nice thing all year. So we invited the gentleman in. So Bill, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for the very nice email. Yeah. It was not only nice, but it was very thorough, like really well thought out, and like went through each of the personalities, and it was really cool.
I write long, but I just had to include everybody, and it's stuff I've been thinking about, and you know, it's been circling around in my head for a while.
Yeah, it was very, very nice.
You know who the first person, because I guess you guys probably got it while I was out earlier this week, because the first person that told me about it was our boss, Becky, who was in here for the 19th anniversary the other day, so it made an impact even on her, like all the way to the top of the ladder here at the radio station. Was really...
Here's exactly how that works.
It was really cool.
Dave sits at his computer, sees an email, critical of the show, delete, sees something really nice, forward, Becky. And just like, Becky, they just keep coming. I can barely get any work done with these.
It's something for promotions. It says, mandatory for on air. Dave says, delete. Somebody, a listener sends an email that says, we love you. And he's like, oh, I'll read this one.
I'm gonna frame this one. So you're from the Northeast.
I am.
And you moved here.
Yeah, I was assigned. The Army sent me here back in 1997.
Nice. What did you do in the Army?
About that time, I switched to being a human resources officer. They call it an adjutant general. I was in the recruiting battalion downtown, and then I switched over to the full-time Army Reserve on Page there, the federal building. So I did that for the rest of my career.
Very nice.
And
thank you for your service.
Yeah, yeah. How long were you here in St. Louis then?
I was here from, 1997, and I got out in 2006, and I hung around another 4 years till I became a contractor.
Gotcha.
And so you're back in New Hampshire now.
Yeah, I spent 4 years working overseas, and you know they always say you kind of settle close to where you were. And my brother lived in a little dinky town next to the Capitol, and I said, "Hey, it looks like the place we grew up in Mass, so let's try that."
Tony brought up a good point on the break that with New Hampshire, so when will that be? That starts in like 4 months or
It's the second one.
Yeah.
So the Iowa caucuses start everything, and then there's New Hampshire, and then there's South Carolina.
I think I would hate it. Because
so they're already there, like candidates. We were talking off the air with Bill, and candidates are already hitting Iowa hard. Like
to
hard.
Me, it's like a super version of a strip club, where it's like you're only paying attention to me because you want money.
Yeah,
and like when they go to diners and stuff, and like Bill, what's your opinion? Like screw off, you only care because I might, you know, I mean, they all only care for votes, but especially in the caucuses and the primaries, it seems especially pandering.
Yeah. How do the people feel? Because so we have a contact that we talk to all the time in Iowa because that's the first big kickoff. And some of the people that live there, this is like their thing. Because, you know, they don't have a sports team. They don't have like an annual event. So they really are proud of the fact that the Iowa caucus is such a big deal and plays such a big role in the presidential election that they realize it's pandering. They know why the politicians are there and going into every cafe and trying the ice cream and that kind of stuff. But they also are kind of proud that it's their moment in the national spotlight.
This made Iowa sound so sad.
You know what I mean. Like it's their thing. It's their thing that they can embrace. I just wonder if it's something that the citizens up there and in New Hampshire the same way. Is it like, oh God, here we go with this, like, all
here comes Buttigieg.
It's gonna be all political commercials. There's gonna be buses everywhere and political commercials. Or if it's
gay
something.
Rights.
Or if it's something
gay
cool.
Rights.
Gay rights. Yeah. Or is it something cool that people look forward to?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think for traffic wise, because it's so slow up in New Hampshire, it's you get a lot of attention. But I think there's a good chunk of people there that really embrace it. They love having getting a little attention. And actually, I think it's written into the New Hampshire Constitution that it's got to be the first primary in the country. That's why when the other states move theirs up, New Hampshire backs theirs up a little bit.
Huh.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Rach, got headlines?
I do. And headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. The big headline at Schnucks this week: save money with exclusive coupons on the Schnucks Rewards app. Look for 100 new coupons every week.
Are these all New Hampshire headlines?
They are. I did theme them.
Thank you.
According to the Washington Post, a career diplomat named George Kent told congressional investigators earlier this week that he had voiced concerns in early 2015 about Joe Biden's son Hunter working for a Ukrainian natural gas company. He was concerned that Hunter Biden's work could undercut America's efforts to convey to Ukraine the importance of avoiding conflicts of interest. Just find this story very fascinating because, as we talked about with Kilmeade on Wednesday, during the Democratic debate, Anderson Cooper posed a question to Joe saying, well, the president is falsely accusing you of this and this. My NPR podcast that I listen to every day is just like, oh, yeah, he keeps making these false claims. It just seems like we're not even looking into this at all, whereas this diplomat found a problem with it back in 2015 and voiced concerns. Apparently, at the time, one of Biden's aides says that's when Beau Biden was going through like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So Joe just didn't have the bandwidth to deal with it, so the subject was effectively dropped.
If I had to bet my own $100, I would bet everyone involved did everything wrong they're accused of. I would bet that Hunter Biden's dirty, Joe Biden's dirty, and the president did exactly what he's accused of. I think they all did exactly what they're accused of doing.
Yeah.
I just think that's what they do, you know?
Let me address something that we talked about yesterday, because I got a couple of emails and messages about the opening segment yesterday. A lot of people were accusing you, Dave, of defending Trump and kind of moving the goalposts and saying, well, why are you just making excuses and saying that everyone does it? That's not... I see why if you would have tuned in halfway or if you would have zoned out a little bit, I see why you would get that impression. What Tony and Dave and I were all saying was, we think this happens all the time. It just happens to be brought to light because people hate Trump so much.
Yes.
So if we do want to start digging all this up, we all said yesterday, like, let's do it. Let this be the new president. Let everybody get in trouble. This is great.
I specifically said, if the Ukraine deal is an impeachable offense, impeach him. But let's not kid ourselves that other presidents have not done the same thing.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's okay.
Yeah, you're not saying it's right.
No, I'm just saying that we know about this one because Trump has been under a microscope the whole time.
Yeah.
If Obama had been under a microscope or Clinton or Kennedy, we would know all of their misdeeds as well.
Yeah, and we really know about these types of things that have happened in the past that have not been, like Hillary Clinton basically funding the DNC in 2016. So, of course, she wins, the nomination. And there's other things out there that, you know, it's all gross and it's all sticky. But for whatever reason, people hate this president, they'd make a much bigger deal about it. Either make a big deal out of all of it. Or let it go.
Analogy, but most of us guys anyway who played pickup basketball, and you call a ticky-tack foul, and you go, "Really? Is this what we're gonna do?"
Yeah.
Because if you're gonna call that foul,
everybody starts doing.
Now we all start calling it.
Yep.
And so if you're gonna call this foul on Trump, then
call them all.
Just be consistent.
Yep.
That's it.
Yep.
You know,
because they've all done these types of things, and I have to roll my eyes at people who now are complaining that Dave Glover is a Trump defender when this is the show that gets the most flack for being quote unquote anti-Trump on the radio station. So
by the way,
talking about moving the goalposts.
Take a moment to say how disgusted, I don't use that word very often.
Yeah.
How disgusted I am with the president for what he said about General Mattis.
Oh, I know.
That is beyond the pale.
I agree.
And here's the thing. If Trump had never talked about someone being overrated before, it'd be like, wow, he and Mattis must have really had loggerheads. But don't talk about General Mad Dog Mattis the way you do about Deborah Messing from Will and Grace.
Especially when he hired Mattis. Yes. It was, we're hiring the Mad Dog. They told us we couldn't do it. They told us he was too extreme, but that's my man.
No.
And now because
this
whatever
is a guy
happened,
who has given his life to the service of America. It's a guy who has put his life on the line and has been nothing but an example of honor his entire career. How dare you use your petty little bull crap against Mattis and say he's the most overrated general of all time.
Yeah.
You don't have to like him. You can say we disagreed. You can handle it like a man. You can handle it like someone with an ounce of class. And if you want to say that about Deborah Messing or Meryl Streep or something, whatever.
And right now,
but don't
there's
say
somebody,
that about General Mattis.
Yeah, amen. And right now there's somebody listening, because this is how it always works. I don't know how anybody could disagree with what you just said. But right now somebody's going, okay, so what? Now, Dave, now you're going to vote for Elizabeth Warren, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's not how it works.
Right.
You can be upset with this president.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're changing.
Glover.
Doesn't mean you're
Trump.
Changing teams.
No.
It just means you're being honest about what you like and don't like.
No.
All right, let's pivot. Let's pivot away from politics.
Going back to the Charlie Brown being gay thing?
Oh, I don't need to revisit that. We all know where that stands.
Fine. We should probably never revisit that.
Anheuser-Busch is accusing its rival, MillerCoors, of obtaining the secret recipe for Bud Light.
Oh, my Lord.
Apparently,
someone
who worked for Bud Light started working for MillerCoors and sent the recipe via text message to other people within the company. Now there's a lawsuit. Palace intrigue.
Is it that hard to figure out the recipe for Bud Light? I think I can figure it out.
Bud Light big in New Hampshire, Bill?
It's considered a trade secret,
though.
That's
pretty much standard.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of microbreweries up there now.
Yeah.
So you go to a bar and there's a wall of stuff to order. It's got all the major stuff like Bud Light, Coors Light, but then it's all these little places you never heard of.
I guarantee you, Coors Light has reverse engineered every beer there is. It's not rocket science. And now I understand why it's not a good thing to leave Bud Light and give them the actual recipe, but I guarantee you that they have reverse engineered. Pepsi knows how Coke's made. Coke knows how Pepsi's made. Come on. Got really passionate about that.
Yeah.
Surprisingly
passionate.
We all
know the seven herbs
and spices.
It's
like when Schroeder found out that Charlie Brown was gay. He's like, he's gay?
Man, speaking of microbreweries, I don't know. There's nothing more intimidating to me than going and seeing the wall of craft beer and being like, I don't know what any of this means, like, at all.
They want you to ask.
They do?
Because they want to talk about it. They want to tell you about the beer, what they make. And
yeah, you could walk up to any person in there, not even somebody that works there, and say,
Nick,
what about that beer?
They want
and they're
you
like,
there.
Yes.
Yeah, they're dying to talk about it.
Nick gets so embarrassed when he and I go to one of the breweries, like microbreweries, and he's like, I'm going to have that IPA made from the dirty feet of Bosnian immigrants.
Right.
And I'm like, I'll have a Mick Ultra, please. And everyone's like, oh, God.
Oh, you know what? I hate that. I hate that.
The snobbery?
Yes, the snobbery. I told you about the time, not just maybe 2 years ago, I was at with our old boss. And we were meeting a client, and we were at some fancy schmancy restaurant. And they both order, they get to me, and I'm like, do you just have a cheeseburger? And the waiter goes, if you want to order off the kids menu.
Wow.
And looks at Jeff Allen and
like
I got him, huh? Like that. Like, you know what?
It's look at this schmo.
Shame me because I like what I like and I don't want to experiment with my lunch today.
Wow.
Like, I hate that attitude.
Where were you?
Hashtag discrimination.
I honestly don't remember the name of the restaurant.
Let's just make
one up. I know where it was, but I couldn't.
Let's call it Capital Grill.
Yeah. Let's just smear somebody.
And that place was Popeye's Chicken.
Welcome back, DGS 426. Wiggins hanging out with us. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Another beautiful day.
The Wiggy is back.
The Wiggy, yeah.
No, what's up, DM?
No, no getting rid of the Wiggy.
Man, Rachel's bump music is so much better than mine.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. She's superior to you in most ways.
About 4 months.
Yep.
I was like, I could have picked a better song than that.
No doubt about it. I mean, if I agree with you and I was the one doing it.
You brought it up.
Yeah.
For some reason, he's playing funeral dirges.
You know what Dave will love? Gary Glitter. No. Kenny Loggins.
40s cowboy song for no reason.
Rach, does Dave like Gregorian chants? Cause...
You know what? I'm just going to play it.
I'll surprise him. So another beautiful day tomorrow, or are we changing?
It's a good day. I don't want people to think that it's not a good day. There is a cool front coming through. Very, very limited moisture to work with. It's not going to be a bright, sunny day. Kind of think a mix of clouds and sunshine. Could there be a spotty shower in a couple of spots? Yes, but I think the chances are really, really small. I'm not really concerned about it at all. And the best chance would be in the morning for that. And the best chance is way off to the north and to the northwest of the St. Louis area. Front comes through. A lot of clouds around Saturday night. 70 for the high on Saturday. Sunday's a spectacular day. Partly sunny, 72 degrees, light wind. A much stronger system comes through Sunday night and Monday. It's cold front, the main low pressure system up over the Great Lakes. That will trigger rain and thunderstorms, possibility of some strong storms Sunday night and into Monday, especially late Sunday night and into Monday. And then cool fall air behind that for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week.
Cool.
Yeah, not much. You know, that front is impressive, but there really isn't a lot going on. We do have a new tropical storm down in the Gulf. It will stay a tropical storm. We'll spread some very heavy rain. Heavy rain, the big feature, along the Gulf Coast, especially the Eastern Gulf and Florida over the weekend.
So that will leave good weather for Tony at Disney World Monday, right? Mm.
Yes. Yeah, that should be all gone by then. Nice washing of the area, and should not be much damage out of the thing. Probably a couple of trees coming down, power lines, stuff like that. But it's not a hurricane. It's not a big, big system.
Cool.
Not going to knock down the castle.
No, never. Nothing knocks down the
castle. And it rains in Florida, as everybody knows. You expect rain every day, and hopefully it just doesn't last very long.
The one nice thing about this system is that it will scrub out the atmosphere, and the chance of afternoon thunderstorms very small for at least the first part of next week.
Great.
Am I making this up? Did that little kid get eaten by an alligator at Disney?
No, yeah.
That happened.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right by the Grand Hotel.
Yeah, the Grand Floridian.
Which is a beautiful piece of property.
Yeah, and right by the Polynesian, where we stay, we could see the beach that it happened at, and now they have fences.
Yeah.
You can't even walk to and dip your toes in the water. The fence blocks
and
you from
remind me, did they know there were gators in there?
There are signs that say that there are alligators in the water, but
it's Florida.
But this kid was, I think, not very... I mean, I think you go out there and it looks like a beach.
Yeah.
And it looks like you should be able to just play on the beach. And I don't think he was very deep at all. And it's, I think that was there. Yes, there are alligators in the water, but I also think that that was not something that they really expected could happen that shallow, that close. Yeah. It's not something that they were used to. Now they, like I said, you can't even get close to the water anymore.
Right.
The alligator ate the whole kid, like just
drug him in the water.
Oh, but I mean,
they got him back.
He survived?
Kind of.
No.
Oh,
no,
gosh.
No.
He's dead.
He was two. Ugh. And yeah.
That's terrible.
They didn't get him back for a while. And he was, That's
well,
terrible.
What gators do, they grab and pull and down they go.
Just terrible. Unbelievable.
Did they kill the gator? I think they found him and killed him, which I'm always against.
Yeah. Like, that's just alligator being an alligator.
Gator
exactly
doing
right.
Its thing.
How do they know which gator it is? You know?
I don't know if they found
that body parts.
Yeah, I can't remember if that or not. I can't remember if it was that or not.
Yeah,
anyway.
I don't remember either.
Can I make a couple of observations about the story about the astronauts? One of them may be controversial.
Sure.
The first one was just Rach and I were sitting in the office this morning, and Trump was talking to them live, and it just makes me laugh because he said. he's like, well, you know, congratulations, and you're at a very high altitude. Rach is like, yeah, it's space.
Space.
It's pretty high up there.
Just made me laugh. You're 14, 15,000 feet up. But here's the thing that may be controversial. I don't, and it may sound misogynistic, I mean it the opposite. I don't think it should be a big deal that two women were spacewalking. Now, I get it. It's the first time it had been an all-female spacewalk. I get it. That's fine. But to me, that's very pandering. It's like, look, there are two African-Americans, and they're astronauts. How amazing is that?
Right.
Like, it should just be at this point, they're astronauts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're female.
It shouldn't surprise us anymore.
It just shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah.
It should have happened a long time ago.
And I get why it's a thing, but I just think it's sort of insulting to make it like your third grade kid brought home a drawing of a sailboat and you act like it's a big deal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, women have been astronauts for a long time now.
Right.
And so I think making a gigantic deal out of it is somewhat insulting. Maybe I'm wrong.
I understand.
When the first female president happens, same thing? We should just say, yep.
No, that's different.
Yeah. I think that's a really big deal. Just because, like, it was a really big deal when Barack Obama was the first black president.
Because, like Dave said, there's been black and female astronauts for a long time. There's not yet been a female president. That's still a milestone. If it's a legit, for me at least, milestone, then yes. But if you're starting to just try to find reasons to, you know, if you're starting to search for milestones, that's where it gets pandering, I think.
Speaking of presidents, Tulsi Gabbard and Hillary Clinton, who could not look more different, are having this back and forth. Clinton is suggesting that Tulsi is a Russian asset, a Russian plant that is
that came up in the debate.
Yes, that is being used to that she's going to run independent to steal votes away and give it to Donald Trump. And Tulsi called her a coward and queen of the warmongers and dared her to join the race.
Queen of the warmongers, embodiment of corruption and personification of the rot that has sickened the Democratic Party.
I love her even more.
I've liked her for a long time. She's tough.
And
she's pretty.
Yeah, whenever she comes on TV, Dave, when she pops on TV, do you go, it's banana time?
It's banana time.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Dude.
A blast from the past.
Yeah, that's callback. That's callback humor.
I think Tulsi has it on Hillary in every way. And so I'm really curious to see how this develops because Hillary does not strike me as a quick wit.
Right.
In any way at all.
No.
And in fact, when she tries, she usually just comes off as being really tone deaf.
Yeah.
Now, and I love how ballsy Tulsi is. I love it. She's like, hey, you coward.
It's also another, I think, example of the flip test. If this would have been a high profile Republican saying that about a female veteran,
right?
Female United States military veteran, calling them out and saying they're a Russian asset, it would be unacceptable that you would treat a woman like that, a veteran like that, but Hillary does it, and you know, we're talking about it. It's on Fox News, but nobody really cares.
Right.
I'm not saying the president. I'm saying any high-profile Republican says that, and it's everywhere.
There is one aspect of this that Hillary might be right about, that if Russia either favors Trump or just likes Tulsi Gabbard or just doesn't want the Democratic field to win at all, they can, through their bots and all of the things that we know that they were doing in 2016, they can favor certain candidates in search engines. But that doesn't suggest that Tulsi Gabbard is a part of that.
As an asset, She called Jill Stein a Russian asset, which, I mean, asset's a strong word. I would have to look up the actual definition. Whether or not that means you're in cahoots with Russia, I don't know. You could just be used as a tool. I believe Jill Stein probably was in 2016. there were a lot of people who were like, don't vote or vote for Jill Stein. That was a whole thing.
I've forgotten all about
her. They were
her.
Able to spread yeah. propaganda mm. and really lift her up. And it's like, this woman has less than zero chance of winning the presidency. And it really did take away some votes from valid candidates. But yeah, Ryan's absolutely right. They can definitely influence things. But to go so far as to say, like, she's working with them.
Yeah.
She's a direct tool of them. Well, and that's a lot.
Even under that definition, though, she would be a Republican asset because she would be a weak candidate that was helping the Republicans win.
Right.
It wouldn't be a Russian asset because right. the Russians don't have control. If the Russians controlled Trump, then sure, then you could say she's a Russian asset. But it's not even that. It's just that since it's against our side, you must be on the Russian side. And that's not how it works.
I think it's the best thing that could happen to Tulsi. Because she's going nowhere. And I think she is one of the most impressive people up there, whether you agree with her or you don't agree with her. And so I think that this is the best possible thing that could happen.
I think if she had more name recognition, I think that if she had a higher profile, she'd be a very tough matchup for Trump.
Yeah.
Because she's not crazy. She's not
vice all president. The
way. Yeah, she's not far left. Yeah, you're right. She would make a great vice president. But she's the type of candidate, I think, that has a better chance at beating Trump in a general election, but is also the kind of candidate that has yeah. no chance of getting the nomination.
I also love it because we know, like in our business, there are some sacred cows who are jerks, who everyone hates them. Everyone knows they're losers, but you don't want to go after them because they'll just cause you so much trouble.
Yeah.
And every now and then someone will just call someone like that out. And that's Hillary Clinton in politics. That she's a has-been, she's washed up, but the whole Clinton mafia, people are still kind of scared of them. I love it that Tulsi's just like, look, you cowardly bitch. You know, she's just calling her out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I don't think this helps Tulsi short-term, though. I think long-term it does just for her name recognition, the more she's in the news. But short-term, I think this could point out that she could play spoiler and she'll get lower and lower in the polls and not make the next debates and stuff
so
like that.
So people will actually believe it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they'll believe that, but they'll realize that what Hillary Clinton's pointing out is that she could play spoiler and therefore we
but
should
not. But has Tulsi talked at all about running as an independent? Did
no,
I miss?
She's actually said yeah. she wouldn't do it.
I would think Nikki Haley is a
running.
Bigger...
She's running for Senate in Hawaii. She's trying to keep her position.
Yeah. I it would be different
Congresswoman.
If
Congresswoman,
she had
right.
made any sort of moves about
and
that.
Struggling.
But.
Well, Hillary says they're grooming her to be the third party candidate, so.
No.
I thought that think was she be knows Bloomberg. Better than us. You guys.
I think you're right. I stand corrected.
So.
All right.
Well.
Banana time.
And then I say.
Da, 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 da.
All I have to say is. It's banana time. It was that long of a pause. It's like, all I have to say is, it's banana time.
We need to find out exactly what time he said that yesterday. And every day.
It was right around this time.
Every day, no matter what we're doing.
I say it every morning when I'm getting the dogs downstairs before we go for our walk. And I go, it's banana time.
It was right around 4:40 when I'm on the radio with you every
you know,
day.
During my segment.
I think we need to play it every day.
How amazing is that?
Did you see this story about this protester getting dragged off the train?
Dressed as a broccoli?
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome, I think. He was, you know, we always talk about the people who you're protesting and you're going to block the streets.
Right.
I don't care what you're protesting. I can't be on your side because you're blocking the streets. You can't. This guy was on the train, standing on top of a train at rush hour in
dressed
London.
Dressed as broccoli?
And I don't think he was dressed as broccoli.
I think I'm thinking of a different protester. And,
oh, that's too bad.
And these in commuters, people are screaming like, I need to get to work. I've got to get home. You know, I've got to get home. And they just.
Good.
They started throwing stuff at him, and when he got close enough, he was yelling back at them and got close enough, and they grabbed him and pulled him off the train so the train could start moving again.
You know what? F broccoli. I'm so sick of people dressing up like vegetables.
I actually think that is an awesome story.
I agree. We need more of that.
Yeah.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Friday. 4:48 DGS. We're going to be doing some pyramid at the top of the hour.
What am I doing?
What am I doing? What's that from?
It was me.
Tony said it.
When did you do that?
A couple days ago.
Yeah. He was like, what am I doing?
What am I doing?
Man, there are so many inside jokes on this show that if I miss a day,
I know.
Yeah. I don't even know what's
going on. I
can't
remember what I was saying.
I still say, ain't nobody gonna do it. Because Tony said it one time 6 months ago.
Ain't nobody gonna do it.
That is an ongoing conversation with my superiors that our show is so inside that they're afraid.
Yeah, it's too inside.
Yeah, they're afraid that people will tune in and here's going, what are you doing? And it's like, I don't know what these people are trying to communicate.
Right.
And just leave. And so making more mass appeal. But then the whole I get it thing is once you listen for a while, yeah, now you're one of us.
Yeah. And I think people like that. I think they want to be understand. Like they want to know. And when they get the joke, they're like, yeah, oh, I love it.
Right.
So you can't do it all the time, but you got to call back from time to time. I think it's good.
Want to hear one of the weirdest fun facts we've ever had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you yelled okay, at a cup of coffee for 8 years straight, you'd produce enough energy to heat it.
That's so dumb.
Isn't it?
Who's funding that research?
Heat, like, how hot is it getting?
I mean, I guess it's hot enough to, like, hot coffee. Yeah.
Hot pot of coffee.
Oh my God, I hate you so much.
All right. I just got $1 million grant.
You
we got the next 8 years covered.
You're so cold. I can't drink it.
You're never going to amount to anything.
I wish you were tea. Then 8 years later, you're like, huzzah.
Oh, it's hot.
Oh my gosh. I posted the photo that Sue sent us from Barcelona of the protests. And Josh just commented, she must perform her burlesque to bring peace and unity to the streets.
Yeah. Good idea.
It would certainly stop the protest for a while.
Bring peace and unity.
She's out there just...
She's like...
Fantastic.
Yeah, couple she's of, like, I can solve this. Somebody bring me a Chico.
She's school. Just got a couple of cabbages over her boobs.
Fantastic. That's awesome.
It's awesome.
We're on vacation.
At least now we know.
And we're letting loose.
Suddenly she's Jimmy Stewart.
She is. It is. It's a very...
Let me show you how we do it in St. Louis, Missouri.
Listen, the Sioux accent is 60%
you're right.
Jimmy Stewart.
Bet you wish I'd move the cabbages.
This is awesome.
Bet you wish these were lettuce.
I didn't realize for a long time that you were doing Sioux when you said awesome.
Awesome. Because that's that happens in Sanford and Sioux.
Oh, yeah.
Can you play it? No, can you play it?
Oh, Sanford. I mean, I'll do that all day.
Can you do it?
I love it.
She needs to perform that whole thing verbatim.
She's the human
in France.
She is the human soundboard.
Yeah.
I always forget about Eat My Shorts. So funny. Eat my shorts.
It's so funny. I said, can you do it?
Well, sure.
Yeah. I guess I have memorized the entire thing.
She was like, yeah.
Finally, my chance. Yeah.
It's great. All about me now. Speaking of coffee, can you talk about the creamer?
Oh, yeah. This morning I was getting my coffee together and I'm using this new like almond milk silk creamer, caramel flavored. And I happened to see on the bottle as I was pouring it, it says, do not use in place of infant formula. In like big red letters. I just thought, who is getting that mixed up? Who is thinking, I think my baby would really like caramel almond milk?
Not to like make fun of anyone in particular, but if you are already considering using coffee creamer as your baby's formula, I don't think that warning's going to stop you.
Yeah, they're right. They're not pouring it into the bottle and then it catches their eye.
Holy crap!
Go, oh,
wait a second.
I've almost made a grave mistake.
I think I have a crush on the way that you say awesome. Just that word.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
It's really a crush on Sue. It's awesome.
I think I just witnessed sexual harassment.
Yeah. It's just that word. Something about that one word. That's what I realized. It was Sue. I was like, oh, it's Sue. It's not Rachel's thing. I thought you had like
less
created a catchphrase for yourself.
It's awesome. That'd be awesome, though.
That's awesome.
But I didn't.
Can you do it?
It was the excitement in her face.
Yeah.
We're going to rename it Sanford and Rachel Sue.
You bet I can do
it's
it.
From Sanford and Sue. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can you play it?
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe they're asking me to do it. Eat my shorts.
Eating a Chico stick.
One day they're going to ask me to sing the Sanford and Son theme song, who's and I'm going to be ready.
Who's playing Pyramid?
You're looking at it.
Us. It's lean times around here, Tony.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only
slim
four.
Pickings.
Two teams.
And we've got a ton of categories.
Yeah.
So we're it's all going to be playing a lot.
It's just going to be a marathon.
Let's stress ourselves out really bad before the weekend.
All
right.
I'm not
we?
Sure that Kathy Edelman would be comfortable with Rachel and Wiggins being partners now. That he has professed his attraction to the one word she says.
How about we draw names out of a hat?
Do we have a hat?
I have a hat.
Andrew's got a hat.
Do we have names?
He's the hat guy.
We have names. Each one of us does.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.